Al-Bayan Radio presents a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi,
presented by Farhan bin Rafi' Ahmed.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil falan tajid lahu waliyyan murshida. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for him. And he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for him. And he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for him except through the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not die except that you are Muslims. Amma ba'd, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are now on lesson 23 in our classes of the 42 ahadith of Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah. Today, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have reached hadith number 16. And we'll begin with reading the Arabic, insha'Allah. قال إمام النووي رحمه الله عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصني قال لا تغضب فردد مرارا فقال لا تغضب رواه البخاري. إمام النووي رحمه الله narrates on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advise me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not become angry. And he, yani the questioner, repeated his question to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not become angry. Collected by Imam al-Bukhari. This hadith is the last of the four ahadith mentioned by Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, al-Imam al-Faqih al-Maliki, rahimahullah, that are the foundations of adab, morals and etiquettes. The first of these ahadith was, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. That whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, then let him speak good or remain silent. And the second hadith that Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah mentions as the foundations of adab and morals and etiquettes, min husni islam al-mar tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that from the perfection of one's faith is to leave that which does not concern him. And the third hadith that Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah stated that are the foundations of adab, morals and etiquettes is the hadith لا تغضب, do not become angry. And the fourth hadith that Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah mentions as the foundations of morals and etiquettes is لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah stated that all good character and good etiquette or manners are found in these four ahadith. What's come to mind as I was reading that list? Alhamdulillah, by the end of this class, we would have covered, walillahi alhamd, by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all four of these ahadith. We've covered the last three, and today is the fourth. And insha'Allah, the main aspect of today's class and today's hadith is the foundational principle in relationships, regardless of who they are with. And insha'Allah, we'll get more into it bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. But this is something that we should all be happy about, that we have covered, but we will cover inshallah by the end of this lesson, all of the four ahadith that are the main ahadith of adab, of good morals and etiquettes. Firstly, in يعني moving on to the hadith that we will take today, لا تغضب. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, أن رجلا قال, that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who is this man? Who is this rajul? There is something that comes in the isnad that's called mubham. Someone in the isnad that is unknown. So some of the scholars, they strive by gathering the narrations wherever they found in the books of hadith to find out, try to find out who this person, or whenever this is mentioned that a person came to the Prophet ﷺ, who was that person? Now there isn't, يعني, a lot of the times, there isn't really a benefit, as mentioned by Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, who was pretty staunch on this, that there isn't really a benefit a lot of the times when it comes to many of these ahadith to find out specifically which companion was it. It suffices us to know that it was a companion. However, other times when it comes to fiqh, it actually does matter who that person is. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah didn't mention this, but I'm sure there are other parts where he would have alluded to this, wallahu a'lam. Because if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a person closer to the time of his death, and that person, يعني, that person that would have asked the person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would have been a new Muslim, يعني, then this would mean that this is one of the later rulings of the Sharia. Therefore, it can sometimes be as something that negates something that was in the earlier parts of the Islamic history. But this is something that is generally the case, but not always the case. يعني not necessarily, like in this hadith, it doesn't really benefit us to know who this companion was. It doesn't have any effect on legislation, right? It doesn't have any effect on the rulings that we derive from this hadith. However, in saying that, other scholars have done the hard work for us. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, mentions that this companion, this person who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name was Jariyah ibn Qudamah. Jariyah ibn Qudamah. And also Ibn Hajar, but Ibn Rajab also mentions that it could also possibly be Abu Darda radiallahu an. In another narration of this hadith, because this hadith has multiple narrations, in another narration of this hadith as found in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, a companion said, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin yadkhuluni al-jannah wa la tukthir alay. O Messenger of Allah, guide me to an action that enters me into the paradise. Guide me to something that I can do that allows me to enter paradise through it. And he said, وَلَا تُكْثِرْ عَلَيْهِ Don't overburden me. Don't give me something that I'm not capable of. Don't give me something huge to do. No, something small. I just want something small that I can do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, لَا تَغْضَبْ Do not become angry. Subhanallah, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, this companion, after the hadith was narrated, he actually said, ففكرت حين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قال. So I came to the, يعني, so I pondered over, يعني, this advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم after what he said, after he said what he said. يعني, so I pondered over this after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said what he said. فإذا الغضب يجمع الشر كله. This companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, so I came to the conclusion that anger encompasses all evil. يعني in anger you can find all evil. Subhanallah. Going back to the hadith, the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, awsini, advise me, guide me with something. Give me an advice, O Messenger of Allah. And this is from the great eagerness of the companions radiallahu anhum to get guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to seek knowledge from where it is sought, to go to the, يعني, to go to a person who is most able to give you advice because of his high status in knowledge. And that is what we should be taking on board from this, is that when you see someone who is very knowledgeable, you go and you're eager for him to give you advice, for him to advise you. Because he is someone that is, inshaAllah, through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a means for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For when this companion says, أوصني يا رسول الله, give me advice, advise me, O Messenger of Allah, he is asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he respects the legitimacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a standing in knowledge and has a standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, this comes into hadith in a few various, this comes into the field of hadith in various narrations. But the answers are always different. A lot of companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, advise me, O Messenger of Allah. And then so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, do not become angry. In other narrations, a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep your mouth moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why does this happen? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives different people different advices. Shouldn't it be that one advice would suffice for everybody? For the scholars mention that there are two possibilities for the different advices of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first is either it is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the questioner depending on the information he knew about the person. For instance, someone has evil friends. Someone hangs around in the bad crowd. Right? So when he asks you for advice, he's come through some mushkila, he's complaining to you about something, that I can't find ease and I can't find raha. Wherever I go, I'm always in a state of anxiety, I'm in a state of distress. He comes to you with advice, but you know that this person has evil friends. What's the advice that you're going to give him? That the person is on the religion of his friend, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and advising him about keeping good company, and the hadith of the blacksmith, the hadith of the perfume seller and the blacksmith, that the person, good company is like going next to, going into the perfume house, to the perfume seller, that even if you don't buy anything, best by being there, you're going to come out smelling good. And evil company is like going into the company of a blacksmith, where he's working with fire, metal and dust, and that even if you weren't to do anything, just by being around that person, you'd leave off with the effects of what he was doing. These are the type of advices you'd give to that person. صح ولا لا? You'd give that person advices dependent on what his issue is that you know. For this is one thing. Another person, مثلاً, can come up to you and مثلاً, he deals with riba. And he's saying, I find no ease in my household. I find no ease in my wealth. I don't have any barakah in my money. Money comes, money goes. He's complaining about life, generally even. But this person deals with riba. That he has haram dealings when it comes to his monetary affairs. For the advice that you would give this person here would be dependent on what you know about him. Fa, you'll tell him the person who deals with riba is waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Riba doesn't bring any barakah in your money. That money is risk provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you barakah in your money? General advice. But you're giving him this advice even if he might be complaining of difficulty at home. He doesn't have good connections with his family, مثلاً. But because of a root and an underlying issue, you can go and you can advise him about a certain thing. For this is one of the ways that we can look at the different advices of the Prophet ﷺ, that the relevance of the answers would go back to the questioners. Or the second option was that the Prophet ﷺ wanted these advices to be general advices, to the entire ummah. For this hadith, for instance, subhanallah, is a protection and a way to avoid a lot of issues and breakdowns in many different scenarios. يعني a sort of one-size-fits-all approach. لا تغضب. Do not become angry. This can go into مثلا يعني many, many issues. يعني مثلا parenting issues. Don't become angry with your children. Or the other, don't become angry with your parents. Or for instance, marriage issues. Don't become angry with your wife. Don't become angry with your husband. Or family issues. Don't become angry with your siblings. Or مثلا community issues. Don't become angry with your neighbors. يعني both ways. Or for instance, you know, يعني very important thing, knowledge. يعني issues surrounding knowledge. Do not become angry with your teacher. Do not be angry with your fellow students. فيعني many relationships, many issues, يعني all solved from a single advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. For this is يعني part of the beauty of the advices of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that it can be used and it can be implemented in various fields, in different forms. يعني regardless of the scenario, it still is relevant. تبارك الرحمن. Also, if we were to look at the other narration found in at-Tirmidhi, the companion says, وَلَا تُكْثِرَ عَلَيْ, and do not overburden me. Do not overburden me. يعني what does this show? What does this show? That the one who asks for advice is willing to take the advice on board. يعني if you're going to ask someone, then you're actually asking that person so that you can take it on board. يعني he's not just asking for the sake of asking. And subhanAllah, this happens يعني a lot of the times with students of knowledge. A lot of the times with students and other people, but يعني talking from experience, it happens a lot of the times with students of knowledge. مثلا, how do I memorize? Someone goes up to a sheikh and says, how do I memorize? And the sheikh, يعني والله, he'll spend time with him. يعني exert his energy and tell him of يعني different ways and etiquettes that he can memorize. And then he goes ask another three people, how do I memorize? Because he wants to memorize, really. He actually does want to memorize. But he goes ask three different people as well. But the problem is that he does not even try to implement any of their effects, any of their advices. He doesn't implement it. يعني al-fadi. You just ask someone for no reason. You ask someone, how do I memorize? How do I memorize? How do I memorize? Three different people, and he didn't take any of it on board. For this companion is being real with the Prophet ﷺ and saying, what do I do? Advise me, give me something that I can enter into Jannah with. That يعني something that I can do that's small, that I can enter Jannah through it, and don't overburden me. Give me something small. He was being real with the Prophet ﷺ. يعني he was being honest in the sense where, give me something that I can actually do, that I want to do. Right? I can't overburden myself. But he's asking for the sake of actually taking something on board. And يعني this is the way of asking advice, and something that you can do. You can do, for instance, is what the companion did. مثلا, يعني sometimes it helps when you have examples. For instance, if you went to a teacher and you said, how can I learn Arabic? I really want to learn Arabic. How do I learn Arabic? You can say to the teacher, mind you, Sheikh, or mind you, Ustad, that I only have 15 minutes a day. I only have 15 minutes a day. So just give me something that I can do in my 15 minutes. For this is something that you can do, and it's fine, it's يعني, but the main thing is that whatever he does give you, you take it. That's the whole point of advice. That you take the advice and you take it on board. Allah al-musta'an. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, لا تغضب. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. Anger first and foremost. يعني what is anger? What is the essence of anger? Anger comes from the shaitan. Anger comes from the shaitan. In a hadith, in the hadith of Atiyah ibn Urwa, as collected by Abi Dawood, إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that indeed anger is from the shaitan, from Satan. And this hadith, حسنه ابن حجر, that it is graded as being sound by Ibn Hajar, رحمه الله. And in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, we also see another essence of of anger, of its reality. The first, that what is its source? The source is shaitan. But what is its reality? There's a hadith in Jami' al-Tirmidhi as narrated by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innal ghadaba jamratun fi qalb ibn Adam. That indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anger is a burning ember. A burning ember in the heart of the son of Adam. It's fire. It's actual, something that is burning. An ember. Like a bark or a stick that is burning in the heart. It is actually something that has this heat from it, from the shaitan. The source is from the shaitan, and it is like something burning in the heart, like a burning ember. For anger is like fire inside of the body, and fire, if it is not directed properly, can only cause harm and destruction. And if it is from the shaitan, if it is from Satan, then it can only be harmful. It can only be harmful. Ja'far ibn Muhammad states, الغضب مفتاح كل شر. الغضب مفتاح كل شر. That anger is the key to all evil. All evil, the key to it is anger. It was said also to Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, the students asked him and they said, gather for us all good etiquette. Give us good adab. But they said, give it to us in a statement, in one short phrase, in one short statement. And what did Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, the great scholar of Islam, say? تَرْكُ الْغَضَبْ, leaving off anger. When we're talking about this, Rasulullah sallam is saying, لَا تَغْضَبْ, do not become angry. But what is anger? What does it mean to become angry? And this hadith specifically can either mean two things. The first thing that it can mean is to avoid that which makes you angry. Avoid that which makes you angry. Everyone, subhanAllah, has something that gets on his or her nerves. They all have something that, is like a gaslight. Something that really burns them. Whether it's, مثلاً, some people hunger for instance, it drives them insane. Or some people talking back with their family, with their kids, it's something that's it's like a trigger. Or for instance, dealing with certain types of people. This hadith would mean avoid that which makes you angry. If you know something is going to make you angry, avoid it. Avoid it. Stop trying to continuously indulge in that thing. If there's a certain group of people, if you talk with about politics with a certain type of person and it drives you insane, avoid it. Avoid that conversation completely. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. لا تغضب. Don't do what makes you angry. Avoid that which makes you angry. That's the first possible thing. The wasa'il, that the things that lead to you becoming angry, avoid it. The second meaning is that when you're angry, control yourself. Control yourself when you are angry. To not let rage control you and overtake you, and to be grounded at all times. And if we're looking at this in today's lens, this is more realistic. This is more realistic, that anger is a natural emotion. Everyone has anger. The Prophet himself, salawatullah salamu alayhi, said that I'm a person. What pleases you pleases me. What angers you angers me. Right? So anger is an emotion that is felt by everyone. But we are instructed to always control our anger. لا تغضب, to control your anger when you're in a state or a fit of rage, that you're controlling your anger and not let the anger overcome you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 134, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ, and those who restrain their anger, those who restrain their anger and pardon the people, and pardon the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the muhsineen, loves those who have ihsan. For what do we learn from this? That this is the level of ihsan, the pinnacle of faith, to restrain one's anger, to show control, to show self-control over one's anger and his own temperament. So what does the one who is angry, and now, okay, anger is bad. Anger is bad, so we need to control our anger. What do we do when someone becomes angry? Khalas, we know that everyone is going to become angry. Ghasban annak, you're going to get angry. Khalas. Okay, what do we do when we get angry? Do we have steps that we can overcome this anger? Have we been taught this by the Prophet ﷺ? Of course we've been taught by the Prophet ﷺ. The first thing that is found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that this is يعني, a story that's authentic, obviously, Bukhari and Muslim. إِسْتَبَّ رَجُلَانِ عِنْدَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The two companions in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, abused one another. فَجَعَلَ أَحَدُهُمَا يَغْضَبُ وَيَحْمَرُ وَجْهُهُ. That one of them was extremely angry. He was becoming extremely angry and his face became red. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم looked at him and said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ كَلِمَةً لَوْ قَالَهَا لَذَهَبَ هَذَا عَنْهُ. That indeed I know a statement that if he were to say it, it will remove this anger from him. يعني the person now is having a heated argument with someone. His face is red, he's flustered. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that if he just says a kalima, if he says one statement, then this will remove it from him. What's the statement? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. This is the first thing that we should say, that we should do. Say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullah alayh, he actually says that the person who is in this fit of rage should repeat this constantly. يعني how to apply this hadith is to constantly say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Because you're acknowledging two things. You're acknowledging that this anger is from the shaytan himself, it's from Satan. And you're going, يعني the second thing is that you're going, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fighting this anger. For you're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid and assist you against the shaitan. For the one who constantly repeats this, thinking about what he's saying, this will inshallah remove his anger. And if it doesn't, it means that you're not saying it properly, not that the hadith is incorrect. The second thing that is found in the Musnad Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abi Dawood from the hadith of Abi Dar, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if one of you is angry and he is standing, then let him sit down. If he is standing when he's angry, let him sit down. فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَطَّجِعْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that يعني his anger should subside. His anger should subside. However, if it doesn't subside, if his anger doesn't go away, then let him lie down. Let him go on his back. يعني first he was standing, then he was sitting. If it still didn't work, let him lie down. This is the second advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one should change his positioning physically. If he is standing, then he should sit. And if he is sitting and that doesn't work, it doesn't, يعني the anger is still there, then let him lying down. For changing one's physical stance removes the anger, as mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the third advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as narrated by Atiyah ibn Urwa. We mentioned the first part of the hadith, we didn't mention the second part. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الغضب من الشيطان. That indeed anger is from the shaytan, from Satan. وإن الشيطان خلق من النار. And indeed shaytan was created from the fire. وإنما تطفأ النار بالماء. And indeed يعني fire is relieved or put off with water. فإذا غضب أحدكم فليتوضأ. So if any of you, if any one of you is angry, then let him perform wudu. This is another way of cooling oneself off literally from the fire of heat. From the fire of heat by performing wudu. The fourth is يعني, remembering others who are more patient than you in situations that are worse than yours. And this is from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would become angry, as found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say when he was angry, قَدْ أُوذِيَ مُوسَى بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا فَصَبَرْ. That Musa alayhi salam was harmed with more than this, and he was patient. For reflecting upon who had it worse than you, who had it tougher than you, and looking at how they met adversity, this is another way to ground yourself and to يعني, see how you should يعني, react to anger. The fifth يعني, thing, and I want to leave this off يعني, with the how to relieve one's anger, was mentioned by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayh, and he says that يعني, these four previous that have come in, I don't know if he mentioned all the four here that are mentioned here, is found in the books of hadith that I compiled. Some were found in Jam' Ulum al-Hikam, some found in Bukhari. But Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentions a few different things. He mentions the wudu, he mentions sitting down if you're standing, but then he says that one should not, one يعني, is not necessarily restricted to this, to these methods, the prophetic methods. There's another method that he states is leaving the place that you're in. If you're in a room, leave the room. If you're in a house, leave the house. If you're in the masjid, leave wherever you're angry. If you're reaching a point of rage where you're actually going to bring harm on other people, then leave, yani change your surrounding. Change your surrounding. And a sixth thing is the opposite to this, that one can combine all of these things. That if one person is really angry, he starts off by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان, constantly repeating it. And then he sits down, and then he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, or lies down, when and then continuously says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and then goes and makes wudu. While, and then after making wudu, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان, يعني combining the advices of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and other advices, يعني, like the advice of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, and he takes a breather outside. مثلا, he just goes into the room, مثلا, or he goes, يعني, changes his surrounding, while again asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. For these are some of the ways that a person can relieve his anger, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the patient and to make us of those who are able to withstand and to control our anger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this in fact is true strength. This is true strength. In Adab al-Mufrad, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah collected a hadith that is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa ash-shadidu bis-sur'ah. That strength is not defined, is not the one who can knock people over. It's not that physical bruteness. That's not strength. What's strength? He says, إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. That strength is the one, or the one that who is truly strong, is the one who controls himself when he is angry. When he is angry. Ibn Umar, رضي الله عنهما, he states يعني, a beautiful, beautiful athar. And this is also found in Adab al-Mufrad. He says, مَا مِن جَزْعَةٍ أَعْظَمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَجْرًا مِن جَزْعَةِ غَيْذٍ كَظَمَهَا عَبْدٌ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. He says that there is nothing that is swallowed greater with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reward than a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who swallows and controls his anger. Swallows and contains his anger out of the desire for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And in the Musnad of Abi Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كظم غيظا وهو قادر على أن ينفذه دعاه الله عز وجل على رؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة حتى يخيره الله من الحور العين ما يشاء. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as narrated by Mu'adh ibn Jabal, says that whoever contains and withholds his anger, and he is able to express his anger, he's able to dish it out, he's able to put his anger on someone, whoever withholds his anger at this time when he is able and capable to express his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him in front of all of the creation, in front of all of the creation on the day of judgment, and he will be given the choice of choosing any of the Hur al-Ain that he pleases. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he narrates يعني, a beautiful, beautiful statement. He says, whoever contains this in him, يعني, certain characteristics, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him from the shaytan, forbids the hellfire on him. He says, من ملك نفسه عند الرغبة والرهبة والشهوة والغضب. Whoever has this in him, this characteristic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the shaytan and will forbid hellfire on him. He who controls himself when he is craving, when he craves something, or when he is fearful, or when he is desiring, or when he is angry. When your emotions are doing one of these four, يعني when you're craving something and you can withstand and withhold your craving, you can fight the desire, you can fight your nafs. And يعني usually this is craving the haram, right? When someone is craving something that is unlawful, if he is able to maintain himself and hold himself, then he, يعني Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jahannam haram on him. And the second is the one who's fearful. يعني when someone is scared of, for instance, poverty, or when someone is scared of losing يعني life, then sometimes these things can cause him to do haram. So over here, he who is able to control himself in this time, then يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the shaytan and will make Jahannam haram for him. And the one who is desiring, his lusts are overtaking him. He is desiring something. If he can control his desires, then that is the same reward. And the one who controls himself during anger. So if you have these four, then inshallah, the Salaf have said that يعني, in this is the reason why people do haram. It's either you're craving something, you're desiring something, you're fearful of something, or you're angry. For we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. What is one of the biggest things someone needs to avoid when he's angry? What's the biggest thing that someone needs to avoid when he's angry? Imam Ahmad collected a narration on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا غضب أحدكم فليسكت. إذا غضب أحدكم فليسكت. إذا غضب أحدكم فليسكت. رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said it 3 times. That if any of you becomes angry, then let him remain silent. If any of you becomes angry, let him remain silent. If any of you become angry, let him remain silent. Let him be quiet. How many families have been broken by people not being able to be silent when they are angry? And they say something that even they acknowledge that it wasn't what they meant, or they didn't really mean it, and they said it only out of spite, only out of anger, and it broke the home, and it wasn't able to fix after when someone cooled down. يعني the easiest way to avoid all these mashakil with your spouses, with your family members, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your anyone, whoever it is. When you're angry, be quiet. When you're angry, don't talk. Because it's going to cause more harm than good. It's going to cause more harm than good. Watch what you say, especially when you're angry. Especially when you're angry. And this is one of the greatest forms of controlling your anger by remaining silent. By remaining silent. The companion then asked the same question. It says, miraran. He continuously asked, Ya Messenger, advise me, advise me, advise me. And the Prophet ﷺ kept, in one of the narrations, he kept saying, do not become angry. Do not become angry. For every time the companion asked this advice. For this shows the importance of this advice. This shows the importance of this advice for all of the effect, all of the affairs that we have and all of the relationships that we have. That this advice is applicable to anything that we are doing. Don't become angry. Don't become angry and you're fine. That's your advice. Don't become angry and you're fine. And just before we finish, yani this hadith is another example of one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we mentioned, Jawami' al-Kalim, a short statement, two words, لا تغضب, don't become angry. But the amount of wisdom that is in this hadith, subhanallah, is unbelievable. For this is one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is an example of it, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to say yani small phrases with great meaning. And another yani final point is the great importance of good morals and etiquettes in Islam. That having yani hilm, having wisdom, and not becoming angry, not becoming foolish, not becoming controlled by one's rage. This is from one of the yani things that are encouraged in Islam, part of the good morals and etiquettes of Islam. And in this hadith, we see that it is the key to really mend and maintain the honor and respect in relationships with whoever we are with. Whether it's family, whether it's friends, whoever it may be, even in business dealings. Do not become angry. Especially when you are in a place of power where you can actually yani show your anger, express your anger, take it out on the kids, take it out on your spouse, take it out on your family, on your workers, on your co-workers. Do not become angry. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has perfected our creation, to perfect our morals and etiquettes. Allahumma kama ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin akhlaqi. Wa jazakumullahu khayran wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.